Everybody say giving. Hallelujah. Listen, when we leave here today, I don't want you to lose this spirit of intercession. Did you hear me? I'm sure you don't mind me saying it, but on Monday nights, the women, they come out here and they pray. Some of the women do. And they intercede and they pray. I mean, they pray. And they got, I was over here, I was next door over here, and they got me over here one night, and they started, and they prayed over me. Man, the power of God was so real. I'm like, man, I haven't felt anything like this in a long time. The anointing. See, revival doesn't come through preaching, it comes through prayer. Because Jesus said, I'll make my house a house of prayer. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody say, see. Send. So. Everybody say, vision. Mission. Generosity. You can't have a vision without generosity. You can't have a mission without generosity. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would go to that next slide, I just want to show everybody what God has put on my heart. Everybody say giving. Everybody say sowing. God has called us to be visionaries, not egotistical people who is prideful and self-absorbed. How many's ever met self-absorbed people? And all they can see is themselves, or they're self-absorbed, and all they can think of, it's me, it's all about me. What can you do for me? What can the church do for me? But I believe that God is leading us from this mentality of, what can the church do for me, into what can I do for God? Are you with me? We have to move from, wait a minute, I'm not going to church to get from God, even though I will, but I'm going to church to give to God. Everybody say consumer, producer. See, there's a difference between a consumer church and a producer church. A consumer church exists for themselves. Did y'all catch that? A producer church exists for God. So we don't keep the message within the four walls. Now, some of you have been touched by the power of God this morning. You've been touched by the anointing of God this morning. I just pray that you don't leave it in here. Because I have seen people, I got a touch from God at church service, and they'll leave and not talk about it anymore. And they don't produce it, they don't convert it into witnessing and evangelism. Everybody say evangelism. If you don't evangelize, you'll fossilize. You with me? If the church doesn't evangelize, we'll fossilize. This is the reason why God has called us to be producers and not just consumers. How many knows what a consumer does? What does a consumer? All they do is take, don't they? Take. And when you can't give them anything, when you run out of stuff to give, that's it, isn't it? They're done. Their loyalty is zero. Their faithfulness is zero. Because if you don't have anything to give to me, you're out of my life. And God is saying, look, it's not about a consumer church. It's about a producer church. It's about us. Wait a minute. We receive from the Lord in our prayer time. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you this question. You don't have to raise your hand. How many spent time with God in prayer this week? You and God. Can I be transparent with you? Do you know here a few weeks back, I got so caught up in the mechanics of sermon preparation. I was caught up in the mechanics of it. I became mechanical, a robot, instead of being relational. Because I got so used to writing up, I could write it, bam, like that. And I found myself writing it, and not even spending time with God. And I lost the relational aspect, and I became mechanical. Now, here we go. Do not go through the motions. You go through, and you're going through the motions, and you miss the relational part, the enjoyment. And I was getting to where I was losing the enjoyment in preparing a message for Sunday, for Wednesday. You say, Pastor, you ain't supposed to tell the church that. I just did. I just told you that. Deal with it. Amen. And so when we're preparing, the reason why I'm telling you that is don't lose the relational aspect of these things. You with me? And God says, look, my vision for you is to represent me and to be an ambassador of me. Not just to receive from me, but to actually be a representative of who God is. Everybody say vision. Vision is where we're going. If someone asked you today, say, hey, Sam, where's the church going? Could you tell them? Would you be able to tell them what the vision is? Do you even know what the vision statement is? Because if you lose vision, you'll lose mission. And if you lose mission, you'll have nothing. Why do I need to give? You with me? Why should I give? People give to vision, not need. You with me? They give to vision. Everybody say vision. See, visionaries, they're team-minded. Everybody say team-minded. Everybody say team ownership. You take a restaurant, right? And you take the hostess and the waitress, and let's say the waitress doesn't get to fill the cup back up. And some of us, we lose it, don't we? We just freak out. Ah, they didn't fill my cup up. They're not over here. They're not getting my tip. Christian? Yeah, I'm not going there. And so the hostess will take team ownership and say, you know what, I'm going to help the waitress. And since I'm over here and there's nobody up here to get a seat, I think I'm going to go over here and help the waitress and I'm going to pour the glass. I'm going to help the waitress out. Do you see where I'm getting at, leaders? Youth leaders not here, which they were, but they're on a mission from God this morning. Can I get an amen? Amen. Youth leader, outreach, discipleship, wide open ministries. It's team ownership. It's not a me. It's not a I. We're the body of Christ. Your problem is not your problem. Your problem is our problem. And if we see something lacking, we come together in unity. And we say, wait a minute. We got to take team ownership here. We've got to help each other. We've got to do something. Just think if you took team ownership in your marriage. No more is it me or I, it's we. And if you'll notice the language that I use, I hardly ever use I. We. Last week I was preaching on being the church. And I would hear people sometimes say, the services are getting kind of dull. They're just, what do we, well, I don't, you tell me, you're the church. I wonder why. You're the church. What's wrong with the church? You're the church. You're talking about yourself. Are you with me this morning? And it's so easy to look at somebody else and say, they're not doing right. Look at them. What about yourself? If you'll look at yourself, you'll probably see some deficiencies. Can I get an amen? Amen. You'll see some deficiencies. And so God is saying, look, be a visionary, not an egotistical person. Can I get an amen with that? Amen. Ego will never get you anywhere in life. It will never get you anywhere in life. But being team-minded, taking team ownership, that we are the body of Christ, that we are in this thing together, and that we are supporting each other. And listen, when we work together with different ministries, let them know, you're not taking over, you're just there to help. You with me? Oh, they're taking over. Oh, they're taking communication. Everybody say communication. If they're thinking that, don't assume it. If we assume, there's no true communication. Oh, we think we feel this way. I feel this way. I feel that way. You wouldn't feel that way if you'd communicate. Can I get an amen? Amen. Communication is so, so important. And when we communicate together, when there's other churches and other ministries, we've got to communicate with each other and say, look, let's quit beating around the bush. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here to take over. I'm not here to try to tell you what to do. I'm not here to be your boss. I'm not here to be your supervisor. We are here to work together to accomplish one vision and to accomplish one mission. And that is to bring people to Jesus Christ. How many wants to be on this vision with me? Amen. How many wants to be on the vision with God? That's the main thing. See, I'm operating out of vision, not need. Does that make any sense? I'm not operating out of need. I'm operating out of vision. And so here's the question. What's our vision? Boy, that's a good question. I've been talking about vision this morning. Well, Pastor, tell us what the vision is. It is to bring others to Jesus and to teach them to do the same thing. Evangelism, discipleship. And if you claim to be a believer in Christ Jesus this morning, and that is not your vision, then you might ought to do an evaluation check and to see whether or not you're really a believer. Because a believer understands that they're not going to keep the blessing to themselves. They are going to spread the wealth. They are distributors, not consumers. Can I get an amen on that one? Does that make any sense at all? Is this really resonating with your heart? Is this really resonating with your spirit? That we are a church on a vision, on a mission? Mission is what we're doing. Here's a question. What are we doing? Are we complaining or are we witnessing? That's a good question, isn't it? What are we doing right now? I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about politics. Woo! Politics, man. Very divisive, isn't it? Talking about politics, and they were talking about politics, and I said the question, here's a question. Here's a good question. What do I need to be doing right now that I'm not doing? Because it really is easy to put the blame on everybody else, isn't it? Right? They're not doing right. People are mistreating me. Listen, you're not a product of your circumstance. You're a product of your thinking. Somebody needs to say amen on that one. You're not a product of your situation. And what happens is if we're not careful, we'll live with a victim mentality and say, well, life has beaten me around and battered me. Well, yeah, it probably has. It probably has. But you don't have to live that way. Are you with me? You don't have to live that way. You can make a change right now and say, you know what? I don't have to live this kind of lifestyle. I can make a change right now by the help of Jesus. Amen. Jesus can change me. But before I start demanding everybody else to change, I need to look at myself and say, man, there's some things in my life that needs to change. There's some things in my heart that needs to change. And woe to us if we are looking at everybody else and say, everybody needs to change. Everybody needs to do this. Everybody needs to do this. What about yourself? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you study? Are you connected with the body of Christ? Do you sow? Everybody say sow. Give. Some of us, we think giving is an option if you're a believer. It's not. Can anybody tell me what the greatest act of generosity is? Father God sending His Son to die on the cross for us. That is the greatest act of generosity. And when we are generous, we are being Christ-like. And those of us who do not say giving is important don't understand grace. You don't understand grace at all. Generosity, giving, right? Generosity is the field for where we are going and what we are doing. If we're going to accomplish the vision, we got to be generous. If we're going to accomplish the mission, we've got to be generous. We got to be givers. Our measure of giving will always be equal to the degree that we care about the vision and the mission. You can tell me you care about the vision and the mission all you want, but if you don't give to the vision and the mission, you really don't care about the vision and the mission. You're egotistical and prideful. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I'm not saying that to produce guilt or produce shame. I'm telling you that because it is a truth that will bless you in your life. Yes. And let me throw this in. It's not that we're wanting something from you. It's not at all. It's what we're wanting something for you. And when you give unto the Lord, you are being Christ-like. You're giving to a sense of purpose. And you're giving to a sense of mission. And the reason, you know why people get bored? Because they don't have a sense of vision. They don't even have a vision for their own life. Well, I'm just going to go through life and just kind of float through life and do what everybody else tells me to do. And I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to kind of float and not have a vision for my life and not a mission and don't know anything about sowing, don't know anything about giving. But when you are generous, When you are generous to the kingdom of God and you're generous to other people and you give and you bless them, watch what God does in your life. You'll never go wrong being generous. You know why? Do you know why you'll never go wrong being generous? You'll never go wrong because you're being like God. Amen. And if you could change that slide for me, I'd be very appreciative. And I'll even go, hallelujah, you changed the slide. Everybody say advancing God's kingdom. Everybody say C. That's vision. Send. What's that? Mission. That's what the word mission means. It means to send. How many people are we sending out of this church to witness to people on the streets? Outreach. How are we doing in that area? I'll let you answer that question. I won't answer that. I'll let you answer that because you are the church after all. Amen. Can I get an amen? See, sin, so. Giving to the vision speaks louder than saying you support the vision. Listen, I've had people come up to me, brag, oh man, I love to hear you preach. Man, I love to hear. Man, that was great. Yeah. And they don't even believe in giving. They don't give nothing. You with me? Your words don't mean anything, but when you give, that tells everything. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? You tell me where you put your treasure most of the time, and I'll tell you where your heart is. Amen, church. Generosity, giving. Why did Jesus say man cannot serve? Man cannot serve money. For the love of money is the root of what? All kinds of evil. Why did Jesus say man cannot serve God and mammon? Mammon in the King James means money. We don't say mammon anymore because we don't live in 1611. Right? God and money. Why didn't he say God and the devil? You ready to hear this? I know this is not popular because money is the number one competitor for your heart. And if money does not have a hold on your heart, you'll be the most generous person that ever lived on the face of this earth because money is the number one competitor for your heart, not the devil. Bet you didn't expect me to hear that. Expect to hear that, did you? It is, I'm telling you. Why did Jesus say that? Everybody say generous. Giving. Listen, you could shout all day long. You could run the aisles all day long. You say, I love Jesus. But if you don't give and you're not generous, I know that's a hard truth. I know that's hard. But if you don't give to the vision and you don't give to the mission, that tells me, and it also tells God where your heart is. Words don't mean anything until you can trust God with your wallet. You say, I trust God all day long. You trust him for salvation, but you can't trust him for finances. You with me? See, it's something the enemy does not want you to talk about giving and generosity. You know why? Because it always strikes a wrong, it always rubs up against the grain when you talk about this stuff. But it has to be talked about. For one thing, when you give, you're being obedient. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, I know for one thing, you don't want to be disobedient. How many in here wants to be disobedient to God? I'm glad I didn't see any hand raised up. If you want to be obedient to God, you give. You give. You give to God. And you don't do it out of obligation. You do it out of a desire to please God. I'm here to please God. And I'm here to give to the vision and the mission. Amen. We cannot send without sowing, and we cannot see the vision without sowing. If we're going to have missionaries, we got to give. Y'all agree with that? We have to give. If we're going to have a vision and accomplish the mission, we've got to give. Next slide. Look here. Church is the only place where they take an offering. Anytime we go to see a movie or watch a play at the theater, they take up an offering. Wow, Starbucks. And they say, well, the church just wants my money. Look, Starbucks wants your money. Apple just wants your money. Walmart just wants your money. And I'll tell you that, and I know that for a truth. I know that for a fact. Look here. We tend to not complain about giving money to things we truly value or worship. If you complain about giving money to a cause that's greater than yourself, to the cause of Jesus, to the cause of saving souls, to the cause of seeing people saved, if you complain about that, I know who you worship. I know who you worship. Because giving is the most pure form, is the most pure expression of worship you can give to God. Y'all agree with that? I said all this to say this. I said all that to say this. I love you. I love you. And God loves you. And God wants the best for you. And when you give, your life will be totally, totally blessed. Next slide. What can we apply? Nehemiah had vision that propelled him to fast and pray. He heard Jerusalem. Jerusalem was torn down. The walls were torn down. When he heard about it, he cried. He fasted. He prayed. He was a cupbearer. And he went to the king. Asked the king for permission to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. See, everybody else saw Jerusalem torn down, but Nehemiah didn't see Jerusalem torn down. You with me? He didn't see a torn down walls. He's seen a newly rebuilt Jerusalem. What is vision? Vision is living there before it even happens. That's what vision is. And Nehemiah lived there in a newly built Jerusalem. Now, you see empty chairs, right? I see opportunity. You see problems, I see opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. And you say, why are there empty chairs? I don't know. Maybe because we don't have vision? Maybe because we don't have mission? Or maybe it's because we don't sow or give. Now, I don't know. You can get mad or you can get glad. You know that commercial, right? That's not original with me. Nehemiah had vision, okay? Secondly, Nehemiah immediately gathered a team with a mission. It's amazing to me how Nehemiah you know what he said? You know what he, let us rise and build. Let us rise and build. Let us rise and build. He built Jerusalem. He built it, and he got a team. He got a team together, and he said, we are going to accomplish what God wants, not what man wants. He gathered that team, and they went, and they rebuilt the city of Jerusalem. It got so bad that people were attacking them from rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. They were attacking them. Two men by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah, intimidating them. And I'm telling you, I have been intimidated by some people. Intimidating. Manipulation. If you're in the will of God, y'all listen to this. If you're in the will of God, the enemy will come and try to intimidate you and try to manipulate you. Twist what you say. You say one thing, they'll say, well, pastor said this, and I know that's what he said. You come to me, it's a totally different story. You with me? Intimidation. And Sanballat and Tobiah even wrote letters trying to lie to Nehemiah. Say, you need to come into the temple to hide from them, right? You need to come into the temple to hide from these people that are going to kill you. Well, Nehemiah knew they was making it up. All they were trying to do was intimidate Nehemiah. And when you're in the will of God, there's going to be an enemy that's always going to try to manipulate you and that will always try to twist those words and cause division. You with me? Twist it, intimidate, manipulate. Do not want you to obey God, but you got to understand, wait a minute, I've got my eye on the vision. It's not about the distraction. It's about the vision. Everybody say vision. Vision. Say vision. 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 I hope you catch the vision this morning. I hope you catch it. Everybody say vision. Nehemiah was willing, third point, Nehemiah was willing to give to what he prayed for. And if you'll read that chapter in chapter 3, verse 14 through 19, or I'm sorry, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 14 through 19, when you read that, Nehemiah gave to the work. It's amazing. Nehemiah was, he saw, he sent, and he sowed, and he gave. He was willing to see the vision accomplished. And Nehemiah knew that the vision and mission couldn't exist without generosity. And he was willing to give vision and mission as a bridge with his generosity. And get this, Nehemiah didn't wait for a move of God. He was the move of God. I hear so many people saying, go to this church for the move. Go to this place for a move of God. You are the move of God. You want to see people get healed? Lay hands on them and pray for them. You're a believer, right? You want to see people get saved? How about talking about Jesus to them? Oh, what about this? What about actually inviting them to church personally? Everybody say servant evangelism. Me and Danielle, my love. Sorry, had a moment. on July 4th. We do servant evangelism. And we got this big cooler that my good friend, Elijah, let me borrow. And we put ice in it and we put water in it. And we didn't scream at people. This is what we did. I opened up the back door of my car, stood on the sidewalk, free bottle of water, free bottle of water. Really? What's the catch? Sure? Are you sure? Free? Free? And you know what? Those that went by, I didn't try to talk them into stuff. Listen, I didn't try to talk them into it. Didn't try to persuade them or nothing. I just said, God bless you. Sam, you forgot to invite them to church. Listen, we're not trying to get something from them. We want to give. Now, some of you may get it, and some of you may not get that. And when they ask that question, why are you doing this? We're doing it to show the love of God. Oh, you made my day. Do you need prayer? Yeah, I need prayer. Let me tell you something. People who feel threatened will not open up to you. If they feel threatened, they will not open up to you. And if you don't offer, listen, when you offer something free and you're willing to serve them, their threat level is down here instead of being up here. And when their threat level is up here, you can tell them Jesus loves them all day long. They still won't hear you because their threat level is way up here. But when you serve people and you show them the love of God with your actions, you won't have to wear them out with your words. You bless them. That's vision. You with me? That's mission. That's giving. And if we're not willing to serve and give like that with no strings attached, then we're missing the boat. We're missing the mark. We're missing it. Everybody say vision. Mission. Sowing. Giving. Generosity. Lastly, at last, generosity is the bridge of vision and mission. It is the bridge. Jesus was the bridge to every spiritual blessing that we have in our lives right now as believers. You with me? Did you hear me? Did you catch that? He's the bridge. And if we're going to present that bridge to the lost, we're going to have to be willing to give to the mission and give to the vision. And when you give, you will not regret it. When you give to the kingdom of God, you will not regret it. Everybody say give. Yep. Next slide. See that seed? Anything you do for God, all truth, it starts out in seed form. You got to give it time to grow. You keep giving, that seed won't remain a seed anymore. You with me? It'll bring fruit. But you have to be willing to plant. Listen, you are not in charge of the harvest. You are in charge of planting the seed. And if you're willing to plant the seed with the Word of God, by giving, by telling, it will bring fruit. Guarantee you. As sure as I'm standing right here, it will bring fruit. How many thanks God for truth? Do you receive it? Amen. Say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Elijah, if you would, are you just going to play the guitar? Okay, just play the guitar and sing a little bit. We're just going to pray right now. And I pray that the spirit of generosity would grasp your heart. That you would understand that giving is being like God. And you got to have a vision. You got to have a mission. And we're taking team ownership. Do you believe that we're in this together? Amen. I said, do you believe that we're in this together? Vision. Take your neighbor by the hand. You can grab my hand if you want to, Danielle. And we are giving. We are givers, all right? We want to bless the ministry. We want to bless the kingdom of God. And right now, as we're joining hands together, we're giving. We're giving in prayer. Amen. We're giving through prayer. And we're willing to bless each other and be a blessing. And I just want to tell you that my intention is never, never to harm. And I want to see you fulfill your gift and your potential and your calling in Christ Jesus. And you will do it, praise God. Because I know Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says it. What God started in you, He will fulfill it until the day of redemption. Right? He will do it. This prayer is a prayer of request, saying, God, give us a spirit of generosity to where we will bless each other and bless the kingdom of God. All right? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we can give to the ministry because, Lord, you've given us everything. You erased our sins and you gave us your righteousness. You did that for us, and there was a transfer that happened on the cross. And we thank you for that, Father. And Father, we praise you and we glorify you, God. And your name is to be glorified in our lives, Father. Father, get us away from ego. And let us have the same perspective as you do. Help us, Lord, not to see problems, but to see opportunities in Jesus' name. Everybody say opportunity. Opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say hallelujah. You receive the word. Amen. Tell each other you love each other. Pray for each other. Support each other. We are on the same team. This is the body of Christ. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.